The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute, which is headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith, because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right to our calls in just a moment, but I want to mention a common contention that is raised over and over again in our culture, and that is that all religions lead to heaven. And I think it's important to point out that when you begin to examine world religions such as Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism, you will immediately recognize that they directly contradict one another. For example, Moses taught that there was only one way to heaven. Krishna believed that there were many ways, and of course, Buddha was an agnostic. So logically, they can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. Furthermore, the road of religion leads steeply uphill, while the road of Christianity descends downward. In other words, religion is fallen humanity's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to God through what we do. But Christianity is based on what Christ has done. He lived the perfect life that we could never live and offers us His perfection as an absolutely free gift. Jesus taught that there was only one way to eternal life. Make no mistake about that. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, that's an outrageous claim, but Christ validated that claim through the immutable fact of His resurrection. The opinions of all other religious leaders are equally valid in that they're equally worthless. They died. They're still dead. Only Jesus had the power to lay down His life and take it up again. Thus, His opinion is infinitely more valuable, certainly more valid than anyone else's opinion. So no, not all religions lead to heaven or lead to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is James, listening in Greenville, South Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about parables, actually. You know, in Mark 4:11, it talks about all things to you have been given to know the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those who are outside, all things come in parables. And in reading the parables, the one parable that is not really explained in the Bible, or at least not to me, is Matthew 22, the parable of the marriage feast.
Yes.
And in that story, you know how the story goes, but there's that line that for many are called, but few are chosen. And I've wrestled with that parable for about 3 years now. I had a strange dream. I woke up, you know, distraught, went to my Bible, and that's where I ended up. And then due to the details of the dream, which I won't take your time in going into that, but I've been looking for insight into what that parable is really about.
Yeah, but, I mean, why are you distraught about it? How does that involve you personally?
Well, I guess I could go into a little bit of the details of the dream. In the dream I had, I was in a car, but I was a passenger, and there was a shadowy figure driving the car. And outside the window, there were bushes that were catching fire, like, you know, Moses' burning bush. And the person or the figure driving the car was trying to outrun the bushes, but we couldn't outrun the bushes. And then the second part of the dream, I thought I was awake, but I was in my bed, and the shadowy figure came into my room And I said, hello, who is it? And then that's when I woke up. And all my life, I'm a son of a preacher. My father and many of his preacher friends, my father's since deceased, but many of his preacher friends and other church members have always told me that I was going to be a preacher. But I've always been waiting for that confirmation from God, because I've always wondered if that was, if being told that from a young age has kind of colored my vision into believing that that's what I should do, or is this really something that God has for me to do? And so then just trying to figure out that parable of where that line that many called but few are chosen, like trying to figure out maybe what is the difference between called and chosen.
Yeah, well, remember that all of us can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And there's two parties that are involved in any reconciliation between fallen man and a righteous and holy God. So if you have a righteous and holy God, you can only be reconciled to him through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So objectively, we are offered redemption and salvation, but subjectively, we have to respond to the call. So we have to be ever mindful of the fact that a call or the reception of an invitation is not the same thing as a response. We must fully respond to God's gracious invitation. If we do not, then there is, as cited in the parable, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, in the context, people are either going to embrace the kingdom which has now appeared in their midst, or they're going to reject that kingdom that has appeared in their midst. The wooing of the Holy Spirit is the same for all, but we can reject that wooing and therefore not partake of the grace that could be ours. But I wouldn't take a subjective experience like a dream and base your reality on it. You need to take your objective truth from the Word of God and base your reality on that. If you, in fact, respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, if you realize you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ, then he is yours and you are his, no matter what subjective experience you have. We're going to have to leave it at that. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bill in Sumter, South Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing? I've been kind of, it's been bothering me, this question, lately, and an unsaved friend of mine has been using this as one of his reasons to remain unsaved. And I've run out of ammunition. I want to know, what do you think about people, and what does the Bible say about people like, for instance, today, who live and die in remote areas of the earth where no one has ever said anything about the gospel of Jesus, and they don't even know about him?
Well, there's a very concise way in which you can explain this. The first thing that you can explain actually comes from Romans chapter 1, the second from Romans chapter 2, and the third from Romans chapter 3. The first is that all people everywhere have the light of creation, which is to say, if you look at the universe in which God has placed you, you immediately recognize by that universe itself that there is a God. In fact, Paul says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. If I might translate that, Paul is saying quite explicitly that when you look at the universe, you know there is a universe creator. So we all have an outward testimony that there is a God. But Paul then goes on to say we not only have an outward testimony that there's a God, but we also have an inward testimony that there is a God, which is to say God has written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of our consciousness, and therefore we are likewise without excuse. So we find that in Romans chapter 2. Now, the third part of it ties it all together in Romans chapter 3, and that is, in essence, this. If we respond to the outer light and to the inner light, we will receive the light of Christ. God is not capricious, he's not hiding, but rather he is ready to make himself available and manifest to everyone who reaches out and seeks for him. And that's why Paul can say in Acts, from one man God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. It's why he determined the times set for them, the exact places where they would live. And God did this, says Paul, so that people will reach him and perhaps find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So the point here is that no matter where we are, if we respond to the light that we have been given, we will receive further light. And Jesus amplified that point in speaking to Nicodemus. He said, light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So the point here is it's not that there's not enough light, it's that people want to remain in darkness, which appears to be the case with your friend. It's not that there's not plenty of light. I mean, if you see a basketball, you know enough to say there's a basketball maker. How much more so when you see the irreducible complexity of the universe in which we live?
So what if, theoretically, somebody dies and goes to heaven because they believe in this what you're the same way that you're talking about, and they find, and then they see Jesus in the heaven, and then they find out, hey, oh, so you went and you died for me. You know, he didn't even know it.
What I'm suggesting is that is a hypothetical which doesn't correspond to reality. The reality, according to the Bible, is that everyone knows about God because God has made himself plain through the universe that he created. Secondly, has written a knowledge of himself on the tablet of our heart, and if we respond to that light, we will receive the light of Christ. That light of Christ comes normatively through the agency of people, but God can bring that light directly to someone without a human person. What I'm suggesting is that if you respond to the light of creation and the light of conscience, you can have the light of Christ, that God is not hiding from people that are seeking to find him. He says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me.
I believe that. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it, man. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kathy next. She's listening in Leavenworth, Kansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I was asking, and you know, what they call gay people, I kind of think they captured that word out of there somewhere, I don't know. But anyway, and they say, oh, well, we're Christian too, but they continue to go back to that lifestyle over and over, and that's the way they live their life. They go from one partner to another, or they stay with one but it's like they look forward to their sin, and I don't know how to respond to people who say that because I don't get that out of the Bible at all.
Well, I think the basic idea of the Christian faith is that we realize that we're a sinner, regardless of what our besetting sin might be. We recognize that we're sinners, but we repent of that sin, which is to say we turn away from that sin with God's help, and we follow Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. That's the essence of what conversion is. We don't want to do it our way anymore. We want to do it his way. So can a homosexual go to heaven? Absolutely. But if they suggest that whatever God says is not really the way I want to do it, then they want to live their life not in repentance, but rather in rebellion. And those are those who are not saved, and that is because they don't want to change. The real issue is a matter of the will. It is a matter, do you want Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior, or do you want to be the arbiter of what is right and wrong in your own life? So the issue becomes, are you willing to recognize your sin, repent of your sin, and follow Jesus Christ? Now, you can repent of your sin and still fall back into it. I mean, that's part of the human condition. Every single day, the redeemed sin and thought, word, and deed. But we're redeemed not because of our own righteousness, because of a foreign righteousness, not of our own, that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Luther said it best. I've repeated it a few times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but we're snow-covered dung. We are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but we are still fallen sinners that struggle with the powerful lure of sin. That doesn't mean we're not redeemed. It means that we want to do it His way as opposed to doing it our own way. And thank God that we are covered by His righteousness, and that the one who covers us with His righteousness is also changing our willer. Our sanctification process is in full gear as Christians, and one day we're going to be in practice what we are now only in position, and we look forward to that day with great anticipation. Be right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here's Hank again with a special offer.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast after this. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture, so take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. To remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Without the assurance that God has spoken to us through His Word, Christianity would have no more authority for faith and practice than does Islam, Mormonism, or a host of other misguided movements. Now, you can have the most important proofs of the Bible's truth always handy with Hank's new flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. We'll send you the flip chart in appreciation for your gift today to support more Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Thank you. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I do want to mention that we are in the last quarter of our year, and we are behind financially. We need to catch up, and that takes people like you that hear the call, respond, and make a difference, touching lives of people that you may only know from the perspective of eternity. If you can support the ministry prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. For those that join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, you can check that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Also, for those that give a gift of $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Check it out on the World Wide Web, again at equip.org, or just write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can also talk to our resource consultants via the telephone, 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Amanda, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. I was just calling because recently I've started going back to church and, you know, kind of examining my faith. And I've been really kind of struggling to grow spiritually, especially in prayer. Well, I mean, really all around. But so I've been trying to develop my relationship with Jesus and seek after Him, but I don't really know what I'm doing, and I think I kind of need some sort of structure to get started, and so I've been asking around, and devotionals were recommended to me, one of which was Jesus Calling by Sarah something.
Sarah Young.
When I read the description of how it was written, it kind of concerned me or just made me a little uncomfortable, and I don't know if I should have been. But, it seemed a little odd, and I guess my question is that should I be concerned about how it's written, like the automatic
writing?
Yeah,
I think you should. Yeah, I think you should, and I think that's good discernment on your part. I do think it's very important for you, however, to recognize that the means of grace are available to you. And it starts with some very basic things. The first basic, of course, is recognizing that prayer is an opportunity for you to build a relationship with the lover of your soul. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Why? Because He treasured fellowship with His Heavenly Father. And we should have that same relationship with God where we treasure fellowship with Him. So prayer becomes a means through which we develop that intimacy. We should also, as on a regular basis, get into the Word of God, get the Word of God into us. So there should be a devotional reading process by which we work our way through the Word of God, because the truth of the matter is the whole of Scripture is greater than the sum of its individual parts, but you can't understand the whole of Scripture without understanding its individual parts any more than you can understand its individual parts without understanding the whole of Scripture. So it's important to partake in the Word of God, and recognize that meditation on the Word of God is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. And then I think it's critical that you're part of a healthy, well-balanced church where you have accountability, where you have fellowship, where your gifts are used for the edification of the body and the body ministers to you as well. and then learn how to communicate what you believe and why you believe it, and become so familiar with the essentials that when any counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously.
Right. I've gotten involved in a great church and a gospel community, and it's been really great. And I guess I'm just trying to figure out, like, how to, take it to the next level, just, like, in my personal relationship with Christ. And, I try reading my Bible, and I guess, you know, there are impressions that I get when I'm reading it, but I'm just kind of concerned. I don't want to take something out of context or the wrong way.
Yeah, but remember, this is the one thing that happened as a result of the Bible being in the common vernacular of the people. We've had the English Bible as a result of the translation work of John Wycliffe and then William Tyndale and many that followed him. And so we now have the Bible in the English language. And the reason that that is not a concern, at least for the Reformers, was because of what they called the analogy of faith, where people learn to read the cloudy in light of that which is clear, where the main and plain things are so simple that a child can understand it. Granted, the deeper things or some of the secondary issues so deep that a theologian can drown in them. But nonetheless, what saves us from the floodgate of iniquity that was talked about when the Bible was put into the hands of the laity is this whole notion that we interpret the cloudy in light of the clear, that we read Scripture in light of Scripture, and that's how we read the Word of God. And certainly you can read God's words just like I can read God's words. And there are times where you need help. There are times where you need instruction, but that instruction is available by those who have walked the way, perhaps longer than you have, by good commentaries and so forth. But the main and the plain things are accessible to you just as they are to me.
Okay. So I guess, like, what my concern had been was that I'd just be reading it and it wouldn't sink in. So I guess maybe this is, like, really simple for other people, but just by reading it and being diligent in that, you're saying, like, it will start to sink in. And
well, yeah, it will. It's a matter of meditating on the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying it. I mean, I talk about three M's: memorize, meditate, and mine the Word of God, which is to say there are riches in the Word of God, and you get to those riches by mining the Word of God for all its wealth, or reading it for all its worth. Now, that involves an art and a science. It's a science in that rules apply. It's an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. And if you hang on, I'd be happy to send you a little flip chart that I did in this regard, which will help you read the Bible for all its worth.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, Amanda. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Tommy in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on WCRV. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Hank. I have two quick questions for you. Both having to do with a friend of mine who grew up Christian and believing in God and Jesus, and he saw the documentary Bill Maher made, Religious, and it basically turned him into an agnostic, or at least got him thinking towards that way. The two things: one, I wanted to ask you about what you would say to Bill Maher's contention that Christianity was copied from the Book of the Dead, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and because he lists off several things. And my second part would be the same conversation I'm having with him. To me, if there is an objective moral right and wrong, or good and bad, to me it's obvious that that would mean that there's a God. But I'm not quite sure how to logically say that to him. I mean, does that not make sense, or is there a way?
Well, no, it does make sense. I mean, if you're a philosophical naturalist or an atheist, there is no such thing as right or wrong, because everything is fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics. So what happens is when you determine something to be right or wrong, you do it based on subjective impulses. And from a societal standpoint, it becomes a matter of the size and scope of the latest lobby group. So truth or right and wrong are always in a state of flux. As far as Bill Maher is concerned, though, how anyone can listen to a fundamentalist like Bill Maher, a fundamentalist from the left, but a fundamentalist nonetheless, and become an agnostic as a result of listening to him is almost beyond me, because he just makes wild statements. He usually repeats what he heard someone else say. He doesn't give defensible arguments. What he gives is dogmatic assertions. And he does that not only in his stand-up comedy routines on his television program, but he does that when he writes. And quite frankly, his assertions are quite laughable. We can demonstrate that the Bible is utterly trustworthy, based not only on the manuscript evidence, but the archaeological evidence, where the people, places, and particulars find their root in reality, where you can demonstrate the Bible has to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin because of its prophetic prowess. How is it possible for Daniel, writing in the 6th century before Christ, to be able to predict the succession of nations and what will happen under Antiochus IV Epiphanes as though you're reading history? He is only able to do that not through good guessing or luck or common sense, but because God is revealing the future through him and therefore ratifying the Bible as something that no soothsayer in Babylon could do and no Bill Maher in the present could do. So the Bible is authenticated by its manuscript copies, by its archaeological prowess, by its correspondence to reality when it comes to its prophetic certainty. And so the Bible stands as an infallible repository for redemptive revelation. What Bill Maher does is he takes what he has heard. For example, he says that he used to believe in the Bible, but then, you know, he graduated from the 6th grade and no longer believes in the virgin birth and no longer believes that the earth is 5,000 years old. Well, I don't believe the earth is 5,000 years old either. I don't think that the Bible teaches that the earth is 5,000 years old. If you want to find out how old the earth is, you look at God's general revelation. As far as the incarnation of the virgin birth is concerned, I believe them because, unlike Bill Maher, I'm open-minded. I allow for both supernatural as well as natural explanations for that which I encounter in the universe. He only allows for natural explanations, and therefore he has to posit that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life comes from non-life produced morals. Well, that must surely stretch a thinking man's, must stretch us beyond credulity. I mean, this is a guy that I don't know how anyone takes him seriously today, quite frankly. It totally is mind-boggling to me. I mean, he says, for example, all the Bible's parabolic. Well, the Bible is the most widely read book in the history of the human race. It's been translated in more languages than any other book in the history of humanity, and he thinks the whole book is parabolic, which means that he hasn't read through the Bible. The Bible is a treasury of different genres. But he just makes these wild statements, and because for some reason or other, our culture has given him credibility, people listen to him. It's amazing to me.
Well, I agree that his assertions are laughable. The thing is, I watched it, and normally I wouldn't even care. Normally I would just ignore it. But the fact that it turned a friend of mine into an agnostic, I had to watch it. And I mean, to me, really, it's an unfair and unbalanced documentary, and I can see why it would make him think that way, because, you know, he takes certain, you know, you can make anybody look like an idiot through editing, or any group of people look bad, and even Francis Collins was the only person I even recognized in the, you know, defense of God that I've even seen before in there, and he only gave him 2 sentences,
yeah,
and didn't even, you know, so, yeah, it's...
And remember, the mystery religions were syncretistic in that adherents not only worshipped various pagan deities, but also frequently embraced aspects of competing mystery religions while continuing to worship within their own cultic constructs, but not so with Christianity. Converts to Christ singularly placed their faith in the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So far from being synchronistic, they were focused on essentials. Be right back.
The mission of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is clear: to defend the reliability of Scripture, give reasons for faith, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord.
In a world that is increasingly hostile to the gospel, we will not compromise for the sake of political correctness or popularity, but we are determined to stand for truth no matter what the cost. If this uncompromising devotion to truth resonates with you, won't you please join us? We depend on faithful monthly supporters to continue this crucial charge God has entrusted us with. To join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, just call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will return after this. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture, so take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Our challenge as Christians is to use what God has revealed to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering darkness. But we can't do that unless we truly believe God has revealed His will in His Word. Let us help with Hank's new flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, putting the reasons you can trust the Bible right at your fingertips. We'll send you a copy for your support gift today. Please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you, Randy. And a quick reminder before we go back to our callers that we need you to support this ministry prayerfully and financially. We need many of you to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. You can check that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. It's so crucial that you not only listen and benefit from the ministry, but stand with us prayerfully and financially. And again, for your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you the Creation Answer Book as my way of saying thank you. But also for you're joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll send you the Creation Answer Book, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. So again, check that out on the World Wide Web. We need your support now as much as ever. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000, and the letter C. All right, back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jerry in Missouri. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Mr. Handegraff. Hey, you're talking about just wars. Do you consider any of the Crusades a just war?
Well, you got to look at the context. I mean, there were horrors within the Crusades that are not justifiable. There's no question about that whatsoever. But you need to realize that before the rise of Islam, the Middle East was predominantly Christian. Most of the people of what we now call Iraq and Syria and Jordan, Egypt, so forth, were Christians or the Christian tradition. And then Muhammad's armies conquered Jerusalem and the entire Middle East, and the Islamic couriers forced their way into Europe, and not until more than 200 years later did Christians fight back. So the Crusaders were not capricious conquerors or murderers. They were pilgrims seeking to follow Christ's call to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. They weren't in it for financial gain. Virtually all returned poorer than they left. By the way, in 1099, Christians captured Jerusalem, but in 1187, you might recall that the Muslims reconquered Jerusalem, and subsequent crusades ended up being failures.
Right. Right. Yeah, I guess I wasn't aware that the Middle East was basically Christian before the Crusades.
Yeah. You know, who does a great job of codifying all of this is Dinesh D'Souza in a book that he wrote quite some time ago, titled What's So Great About Christianity. He lays out what happened historically with respect to the Crusades, but also lays out the historical revisionism that has taken place since.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Terry in Norfolk, Nebraska. Hi, Terry.
Yeah, I was wondering, what do you think the main reason people joined the Latter-day Saint Church or Mormon Church?
I think people have a variety of reasons for joining the LDS Church. Sometimes it is because they present a wonderful circumstance in terms of community, family orientation, the kinds of principles that people want to embrace and be a part of, so that one person cares for another person. And in many ways, they exemplified what happened in the early Christian church, where the Christians were living in harmony and unity, helping one another, and the pagans looked in and said, wow, see what they're doing. See how they love one another. And then the love of Christ constrained them to come. So many people in that same vein join the Mormon community to have this sense of community and identity and belonging. Others say that they read the Book of Mormon and they sense a burning in the bosom or a feeling that this is true, and therefore they join Mormonism. So there are a variety of reasons that people join Mormonism. But the issue, as I've described many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is that Mormonism doesn't correspond to reality. They have a different God, they have a different Jesus, they have a different gospel.
Okay. I grew up Lutheran for 50 years, and I was approached by the Mormons here about 4 or 5 years ago, and I really liked them. And, you know, I decided I would, I'm not knocking you, but I decided that I would join the church, but I had kind of doubts about it, and they asked me to pray about it, and I kind of pushed it off for a day, but then I did pray about it, and just, it's like I got a testimony that God put his hands on my shoulder, because I was at work in a noisy place by myself, and I asked God if I was choosing the right path, and it seemed like he touched my shoulders, reassuring me. And then I asked again if he was watching over me, and I felt that feeling again. And I just kind of, through my life, you know, you're always taught to, you know, have a testimony of the gospel, have feel the Spirit. And in my lifetime, it was the only time I really felt the Spirit. But, you know, I'm hoping I made the right choice.
Well, I can tell you,
I can always change.
Yeah, I can tell you, Terry, beyond the peradventure of a doubt, that you did not make the right choice, and that feelings are, as I've described many times on the show, they're notoriously unreliable. Therefore, you have to test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is true. The Mormon Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Mormon God was once a man, just like you and I are. So he progressed to godhood. The Mormon gospel is not a gospel of grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, but ultimately a gospel of works. The Mormon heaven is completely other than the heaven described in the Scriptures. So the question now is, what is our authority? And you can demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, but you can't do the same with the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon has been utterly discredited through both anthropology and archaeology. So I think what's really important is that you recognize who Jesus Christ is, that the Jesus Christ of the Mormons is a completely different Jesus than the Jesus of Christianity. And I would urge you, and if we can help you in any way to find a healthy, well-balanced church, I would urge you to consider the truth claims of Christianity, which is far different from what you have embraced. What I'd like you to do, because I don't want to be just an electronic voice or soundbite, I'd like you to hang on and see if we can talk to you off air as well. When a Mormon talks about Jesus Christ and a evangelical Christian talks about Jesus Christ, they're talking about entirely different things. Just as when a New Thought practitioner talks about Jesus Christ or a New Ager talks about Jesus Christ, they're talking about a different Jesus. So again, the real issue is not the word that you're using, but the meaning poured into the word. So please hang on. Back to the phone lines. I want to talk to Laura, listening in Apple Valley, California, on the World Wide Web. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm calling about a really question. You probably, it's been asked a lot. I feel really concerned about the truth about blaspheming the Holy Spirit and how you can be assured you haven't done that, and that to guard against not,
yeah,
or up against missing the will of the Father, like you talked earlier on the show, that the not everyone that says Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom, but who does the will of my Father.
Yes. Well, Laura, I think what's really important is to understand that from a biblical perspective, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is not an act. It's not something that you did and now you can't undo. It's a continuous, willful, ongoing rejection of God and the grace that could be yours through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So I can assure you, based on the biblical idea, that you have not committed the unforgivable sin. If you even at this very moment realize that you're a sinner, repent of your sin, and want to follow Jesus Christ is not going to turn you away. You can receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and perhaps you've done that. But if you have, He is yours, and you are His. Now, you can slip on board, but you won't slip overboard. So you can sin and fall, but as Christians, we do that, and then we do what the Apostle John tells us to do. We confess our sins, and we recognize that He is faithful and just. He will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
Well, yes, you know the Bible where it says, let's let that go, the elementary teachings, and go on to mature.
Yes.
There may be many reasons why I failed to do that. I'm 51, and I know it's too long for me to talk and go over everything, and I don't know what matters, what's real, what's truth, all of it. But I know that I always loved Jesus, as much as I knew Him, grew up raised Catholic, and the Jesus I knew, I never was afraid of, but I got turned away from the Catholic beliefs for different teachings in 1984, and I got so confused and afraid, and even years later, recently, a year ago, I thought I actually discovered a thought that I had that I abandoned Jesus in the Catholic Church. So it's been a real struggle, and I just want to get to the point where I can grow up and be a blessing and be in the will of the Father, who I believe is Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Also, to blessing to my family and myself, so I'm not sick and just needy and no fruit, you know, just long-suffering, I think, basically. And that's where I'm struggling.
Yeah. Well, Laura, Jesus loves you, and he cares about every detail of your life. There's not a hair on your head that falls that he doesn't know about it. In other words, that's a way of saying that he really knows you and loves you. And the fact that you desire to have a relationship with him is the wondrous reality that that relationship is yours, which is to say that those that desire fellowship with Jesus Christ, he's never going to turn away. So now what you have to do is deepen that relationship. And just like any relationship, we've only talked for a few moments, so we have a very shallow relationship. But if we spent a lot of time together, that relationship would deepen and it would become rich and it would become more and more meaningful. And the same is true with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why we pray, because prayer is a way of deepening our relationship with the lover of our soul. It's why we read the Bible, because when we read the Bible, meditate on the Word of God, we have the missing link between the intake of Scripture and that effective prayer life. It's why we join a healthy, well-balanced church, because none of us is an island. We need one another. And within the context of the church, we grow and we meet each other's needs, and we are living stones in the temple of God. So all of these are the means of grace by which your relationship to Jesus Christ can grow and flourish. What I'd like you to do is hang on. There's a book that I've written in this regard that I think could be a real help to you. It's called The Prayer of Jesus. So hang on. I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We really covet your prayers. I look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so,
We have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274.